Good morning. Today we continue our series of meditations from John's Gospel. This morning, our focus is on John 6, verses 15 through to 21. This is how it reads. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Have you ever been on a spiritual high, and then not long after, you find yourself facing a severe trial? That is a scenario we encounter in John 6. In verses 1 through to 14, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting women and children. This was undoubtedly a great miracle. The disciples and others were on a spiritual high following this miracle. Then the next thing you know, the disciples found themselves fretting for their lives in the midst of a storm on the restless Sea of Galilee. Look how quickly the fortunes of the disciples change. They were in one moment on a spiritual high, and then in the next moment they were fearing for their lives. What a contrast. The Christian life is often like that. In one moment you are on a spiritual high. In the next moment, you can be fearing for your survival in a storm. Verses 16 through to 19 says, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing." We are told that when they entered the boat, it was already dark. If it is dark and you are on land, you are likely to stumble as you walk. But when it is dark at sea, it is a different story. The darkness at sea increases one's sense of the fear of danger. The darkness at sea means that we cannot see what lies ahead to properly navigate. Maybe that is why the hymn writer wrote, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." The church today exists in a world where it is already dark. There is much spiritual darkness in the world. John chapter 3 verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We live in a dark world, a world that calls good evil and evil good. Christ came to deliver us from darkness and to transport us into his kingdom of light. The church exists in a world of darkness. The church must not allow the darkness to overwhelm us. The church, like the disciples in the boat, must keep moving. The church, like the disciples in the boat, must keep working. The church, like the disciples in the boat, must keep rowing. The church, like the disciples in the boat, must not stop rowing till they get to the other side. We are also told that the sea was rough and the winds were rough. John 6:18, "Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing." So this boat was being tossed about by the strong waters. So for this boat, it was hard to navigate the waters because of the strong winds. And from what I've been able to read and glean, you can't predict when the sea is going to get rough. The sea could be calm this moment, and in no time, the sea becomes tempestuous. You can't predict when the winds are going to come with great force. As human beings, we don't know when the storms of life will hit us. As human beings, we don't know when the seas of life will threaten us. The disciples were in a boat on a tempestuous sea when it was dark and the winds were blowing greatly. They were no doubt fearing for their lives. They no doubt had concerns if they would make it over the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The Christian is not immune to the storms of life. The Christian's obedience to Christ will sometimes land him or her in the very storms of life. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will not spare the Christian from facing storms in life. When, as a Christian, you are walking in obedience to God and storms hit you, it does not mean that you are outside the will of God. It does not mean that you are not smack in the middle of God's perfect will. The Lord sends storms into the lives of Christians to shape and fashion us in his likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. The Lord sends trials on the obedient believer to fulfill in us all his purposes for his glory. Whenever the Christian faces a perilous situation, he, she can rely on Jesus to be the punctual Savior. John 6 verses 19 to 21, there we read, "So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. And he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." Jesus showed up during the travail of the souls of his disciples. Jesus showed up when they were at the end of their tether. Jesus showed up in their moment of great desperation. Matthew's account of this story, as found in chapter 14 of Matthew 24 to 27, is instructive. It reads, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" It is as if Jesus was saying, "Not frightened for nothing, man. I'm me, man. Me look like ghost, don't know." Take note of the expression, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea." The fourth watch of the night is about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It is supposed to be the darkest part of the night. The disciples at this point would have been rowing their boat for hours, and no doubt they were weary and dismayed. Jesus came to them personally to help them. Isn't it true that many times when as Christians we are at our wits' end, that is when the Lord shows up? Isn't it true that when as Christians we are often at the end of our tether, that is when the Lord shows up? Christians, isn't it true that it is often in our darkest hours that the Lord Jesus shows up for us? The lesson is, never give up on Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus to the very end. Jesus often comes true for us in the fourth watch of the night. Not literal fourth watch of the night, but the spiritual fourth watch of the night. Jesus came at the darkest hour. Jesus came at the most perilous hour. Jesus came when the disciples would have been exhausted. Jesus always shows up on time. Jesus might not always show up when you want him to show up, but he will show up on time. He's an on-time Jesus. He's a punctual Jesus. When Jesus showed up walking on the Sea of Galilee, heading towards the boat, the water was no doubt in the boat and threatening to rise over the heads of the disciples. But note this, the water that was threatening to rise over the heads of the disciples was under the feet of Jesus. That is still true today. When you are in over your head with the water from the storms of life, just remember that this same water is under Jesus' feet. When the storms of life threaten to overwhelm the child of God, remember that these storms are under Jesus' feet. There are storms out there in 2024 with your name on it, but we can rely on the same Savior who walks on the water to come to us in the midst of the storm. Christian, please note that God, in sending the storms, is not setting you up to fail. Christian, please note that God, in sending the storm, is setting you up to grow, to mature, to increase in Christ-likeness. The Christian is someone who has Jesus with him or her, storm or no storm. Sometimes God sends storms in the lives of many so that he can get our attention. You see, many are not paying attention to God. So God sometimes sends a storm to get our attention. Could it be that the storm you are going through right now is because you have ignored the fact that God has been trying to get your attention? My non-Christian friend, you need to have Christ in your boat. Otherwise, you will perish in the storms of life. Otherwise, the storms will blow you into a lost eternity. Otherwise, the storms will cause you to perish and you will end up in hell. Surrender your life to Jesus today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent of your sins and follow Jesus the rest of your life. Invite Jesus into your boat. He will steer the ship of your life to a peaceful shore. Until next week, may Christ bless you greatly.